feast of Christ the King. I thought I'd start by telling you a little story. I like stories. This is a sort of comes from the medieval France, would you believe? And it's about a traveler who was going through France, and it was at the time when cathedrals and so on and many great buildings were emerging. And as he went round, he came to a quarry. And the first thing he actually saw was a rather disgruntled man breaking stone, clunking his hand a few times and cussing loudly whenever he did. So he said to the the man was thinking of. So he said, "Tell me," he says, "what are you doing?" He says, "You can see, I'm just breaking stones, stone that doesn't want to be broken. It's the worst job in the world. I'm absolutely fed up with it." So he didn't pursue the matter for much longer there. He moved on and came across somebody else doing exactly the same job, but perhaps with still not looking particularly happy, but seemingly seemed to have some a bit more about it, really. So he said to me, said to that man, and he says, "And what are you doing?" Well, he said, "Really, I'm doing the same as the first man," he says. "I'm breaking these stones," he says, "and it is a hard, tough job out here in this hot, hot weather. It isn't a very good job," he says, "but I do take some heart," he says, "because back at home, I am actually able to send some money back home for my wife and my children. So although it's hard going, at least there's some payoff at the end of it." And he goes on, and he sees a third man happily chipping away at the stone, breaking the stone, breaking with a chisel and the mallet. And he said, "And what are you doing?" he says. "What are you doing? Why are you looking so cheerful? Everybody else seems fed up with the job they're doing in this heat and with this stone and so on. What makes you so cheerful?" "Ah," he says, "I'm building a cathedral." And in a sense, that's what our world has so often lost sight of. We're building cathedrals. We're building bigger things than we can perhaps sometimes ever imagine. You don't need me to tell you that for the last 2 or 3 years, politics and the news and so on has resounded with the sound of conflict and people being fed up everywhere. All they're doing is breaking stone. Occasionally, you see one or two who might have something that might come out at the end. But my goodness, how many have we seen that are building cathedrals, that are building hope, that are concerned for the future? Building hope, building cathedrals, as the stonemason said. And of course, we know all about that from us Christians, because our Bible speaks all about it. If we'd have had the Old Testament reading today, we'd have had Jeremiah. Now, he wasn't a very happy soul either. We've had Jeremiah, but Jeremiah was doing much the same as most of the Old Testament was doing. It was actually telling people that they'd got it all wrong. This clunking of stones of life, they'd got it wrong. Everybody was wanting something better. Perhaps even wanted a sugar-coated pill to get them through all of this struggles and so on of life. And if you read much of the Old Testament, so much of that actually flows out of it and flows through it. But of course, we didn't have the Old Testament. We had the New Testament, which was the Colossians, the letter to the Colossians. But lo and behold, as you heard that reading, there was something else. They weren't looking for something else. They'd already found it. What inspired those Colossians and led them forward was hope. They knew that they had found it. So something had happened between. And what had happened between, of course, was Jesus Christ. But again, it wasn't the Jesus Christ, the times we can throw our arms in the air or the joyous things that we can say. The real question of Jesus Christ was what we heard in that gospel today. It was Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ with criminals on his left and on his right. So how could we suddenly jump to hope from that? I'll tell you why you could suddenly jump to hope. Because that man, that Jesus Christ, living our life, feeling our pain, was delivering a very simple message. God loves God loves you. Because here, in fact, was God himself hanging on the cross, bearing it all for what we are, but more importantly, for what we could be. What we could be, what we can be. Hope was why he hung there on the cross. That is what the real kingship of Christ is about. It is about not about privilege. It's about servanthood. It is about suffering servanthood. Now, I'll just take you back to what we've had in the last 2 or 3 years. What we will have to make a decision on, every one of us, in 2 or 3 weeks' time. 3 weeks, I think. How much servanthood have you found in that? How much suffering servanthood have you found around us? Because that is where, that's how God shows his love for us. Yes, I'm sure he could have changed everything. Everything. At the stroke of a hand. I know he could. But if he'd changed all of that, what would we have wanted next? And we'd have all slippery pole to slide back down again, with a bump and landing on top of each other with a bump at the bottom. Oh no. God knew, not perhaps what we wanted, but what we needed. What we needed. And what we needed was God, who not stood above us and watched our lives, but came into it, joined in the muck and the grime and the joys and the wonders to be part of this life. And in that one moment, he lifted life to a glory that we couldn't even believe, begin to hope for. Far better than the sugar-coated pill that the Old Testament so often asks for or longs for. He reaches us forward to a hope, to a wonder, to a place where we too can build cathedrals of hope. But we can only do it by doing what God himself did, by loving God and loving his people. That's what Christ the King is about, hope. I've spent two nights with that at my center. I think I shall probably spend another 2 or 3 weeks with it needing to be at my center and our center. But that is what we have. And that is why, on this day, I was able to come here and preach that sermon, because I know more than anything else that God loves us, loves you, God loves me, and most importantly, God loves my son-in-law. That will never be taken away.